everyone that hears your message. Through Jesus' holy and most precious name we pray. Amen. Just before I get started, I just want to, as I sat there and I read the bulletin and I heard all that transpired over this week in terms of members of the church. There are three or four folks that have lost their loved ones. We empathize with you. We know it's a tough thing to go through losing a loved one next to getting divorced and losing your job. Those are the three top events in your life that can be very traumatic. But as our brother said in ABI, God is sovereign. And I don't want to feel cold, but God is sovereign. And he's in control. He's never out of control. Everything happens exactly how he wants it to be. And sometimes you might be disappointed. I know some of you are a little bit despondent about life, your 401 or your job or what have you. But as we go through this message today, it is my desire that you might draw closer to the Lord. Because we're going to go through some fundamental stuff. Fundamental. Because sometimes we miss the fundamental, and the word fundamental has become very popular the last couple of days. But we're going to go through some fundamental stuff. And hopefully it'll draw you closer to the Lord and console those who need console and make some of you happy, one happy, as the song says, oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I was wishing that our pastor or worship pastor would go up like on that musical that that guy said, oh happy day. But my wish wasn't fulfilled. But that's okay. Anyhow, I'm going to read a couple sentences and I'm going to ask you to complete them. And if you can't, then I'll help you out. But they're very familiar. There are five sentences and complete them, please. If it sounds too good to be true, right. We make money the old-fashioned way we... You know, as I was preparing, yeah, you're right again. One of the Kennedys said he makes money the right way. His grandfather gave it to him. If you know the Kennedys, you'll get it. I'm not in the Kennedy line, so I've got to make it the old-fashioned way. I've got to earn it. Well, the third one is, there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no gain without pain. And finally, God helps those who. Wow. And you see how you know these things? And that just goes to tell how much it's part of the American work ethic. A lot of us are from the Caribbean. And there's a joke that says we have like 100 jobs and stuff like that. We just believe in hard work and work to get whatever we want. And right, there's nothing wrong with it. This country was built on hard work and a tremendous work ethic that surpasses any other country. So that's why we've accumulated all this material wealth. We know what it means to work hard and elbow grease, a lot of us. We know that it takes effort and grease. We know, we tell people you get what you deserve. We tell them also, if you want to make something of your life, it's up to you. We even say you should pull yourself up by your own bootstrap, even for those who don't have any bootstrap. What am I getting at? We're in this mode where we think that we've got to work to get it. And if we work harder, we get it. And if we work harder at doing certain things at PCC, we're going to see it grow. But that's not how the Lord works. That's not how he works. He's not in that work ethic thing where, you know, you work hard and you get it. So what does that do if we're in this mindset where you work hard and you should get it? That sometimes we even get into this entitlement mode where I've worked so hard, I deserve it. Not so. If we look at this passage here, it says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Let's read it again. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. And we want to emphasize the word gracious, as that's going to provide a springboard for what we're going to talk about today. The Bible says that God is a gracious God. What does that mean? That means he loves us. He loves his people who doesn't even deserve it. You know, a lot of us deserve his justice. That's his nature. Aren't we glad that he's a gracious God? Amen. Knowing some of our background, I'm glad that God blesses people who doesn't deserve it. I don't know. I know I wouldn't be here standing in front of you if he wasn't a gracious God. And for that, I give thanks. You can't understand the Christian life unless you have a full understanding of what grace is. Grace, here's this word again, is fundamental to our faith. It is the heart of our faith. Without grace, there's no reason for being here. Grace is the heart of our relationship with the Lord. Grace is what you let you understand. Grace, if you understand grace, it'll allow you to draw closer to the Lord. And that's what my objective here today is, to talk about grace. Not Grace Johnson, I notice she's not here. But grace as the Lord typifies in his word. That's why we're going to start a new series. A new series a little bit different from the one that we just completed. And we thank the Lord for what the Lord done in those messages. It was well received. We're going to start a new series called Good News from Grace. Good News About Grace. But what is grace? What is grace? This is a question to you, and I want you some feedback here. What is grace? Talk back to me. What is grace? Pardon me? God unmerited favor. Heard something? Any other? Unearned blessing. Anything else? How about God's love in action? Don't you feel it sometimes hard to love people who don't love you? That's not our nature. Somebody wrong you, there's no grace coming out of us. We want to react. And I'm wondering if there was any grace in the battle yesterday at the muscle sling. Was there any grace? No, you said no grace. But getting back to grace from God, it's God giving me what I need, not what I deserve. And every year we say sometimes to our kids, you deserve it. That's not how God operates. Grace is the face God wears when he looks down at my failures. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. My goal going through this series is not just to make you understand grace, but to let you experience it. You've got to experience grace. You've got to feel it. You've got to enjoy the grace that God can put in your life. There are many expressions of grace. There's many expressions of grace. And if you look in your bulletin, you'll see we have outlined a whole plethora of grace, probably 9. It goes like this: restoring grace, how God wipes away your guilt and helps you start over. Sustaining grace, how God gives you the power to keep on going when you want to give up. Healing grace, how God does miracles in your life. You know, and God does do miracles. He does do miracles. And I remember last night as I stood at the bed of that young lady, only 19 years old. She turned 19 3 days ago. And they were doing chemotherapy. And as I prayed for her, I asked for a miracle from God, whether it's through the hands of the physicians or in a miraculous way, so be it. But God does do a miracle, and we prayed for a miracle that one day she will come out of that bed. But you know, the good thing about visiting people like that is that often you go there to encourage people, and you leave there encouraged, more encouraged. I looked at her And she was just smiling. Smiling. Pray for that young lady. She's the daughter of Cecile's manicurist. Is that a word? Very young lady. Very good young lady. How about liberating grace? How to break from perfectionism? Offering grace. How to extend God's grace to others. Yeah, we need to extend grace to others. Growing in grace. And then we're going to end with what? Take a guess at what we're going to end with. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. I don't know who's going to end with that, but if I'm ending with that, I'm going to sing Amazing Grace. So, because it is amazing. Isn't it amazing? Oh, thank you very much, Ingrid. At least I'll have one person cheering for me. Today we want to start with a foundation. The foundation of all this. Everything's got to have a foundation. And a foundation is key to whatever you're going to build. So we're going to start with what? Saving grace. Saving grace. For many of you, this is going to be a review. You know, I estimate from just knowing a lot of you, that'll be a review. And this is good. This is good. Sometimes we tend to forget. You know, so in reviewing and realizing the wonderful thing that the Lord has done, it will enlighten us, make this day a happy day. So sit back, enjoy it, and receive God's grace as we go through the series. But today, I'm going to, as I look at God's saving grace, there's going to be five aspects to the grace that we're going to look at. And in looking at these five aspects, hopefully you'll be sure about where you're going when you die. We've lost, what, four relatives this week? So for sure, might be tomorrow, might be 10 years from now. As I scan this room, certainly not 75 years from now if the Lord tarries, because most of us are over 20. We don't. I know the lifespan is 78 for men and probably 81 for ladies. But most of us will be gone to be with the Lord. But where are we going? Where are we going after the body completely shuts down? Are we sure? If you aren't sure, hopefully today you can be sure, as most of us are. So I've formed an acronym, acrostic, called GRACE. And the first one, with the G, goes for God's gift to me. God's gift to me. And we look at, if we look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, all of us need to be made right with God by His grace, which is a free gift through Jesus Christ. A free, and we're going to emphasize free. It is a free gift. We don't get anything for free anymore. And the problem we have with this free gift is because as Americans, we work for whatever we've got. And we teach our kids to work hard, to have a good work ethic. So we can't really grasp or wrap around this idea of getting something for free. And even when we come to know the Lord, we still think that we got to do all this hard work and do all this. But it's not like that. It's free. It's for your taking. And if you're here today and don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you're never going to get a better deal than this. You're never going to get a better deal than this, than Jesus Christ offering Himself, offering salvation. No price. All you got to do is accept Him in your heart. And it is our desire that you don't walk out here today and not grab this gift. It's available. It's available. Sit in there. Not very complicated. Some people make it real complicated, but it isn't. All you got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart today, and it's done. The amazing thing about this free gift is that some people catch it on their deathbed, and some people get in by the skin of their teeth. And we who have known the Lord for 10, 20, 30 years probably might say, that's not fair. That's not fair. I've served the Lord, done all this thing for 10, 20 years, and He gets into heaven and this one, he'll probably kill 10, 15 people. I don't know, rob everybody. And on his dying bed, he accepts Jesus as a personal Savior. Same thing. Hence, because of our culture and our work ethic and how we understand obtaining things, if you ask, say, 50 people, were walking down the street who doesn't know the Lord. How do you get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? The empirical evidence is that the way to heaven is you try to do as much good work as you can, and it'll get you into heaven. Have you ever asked anybody, how do you get into heaven, and they respond? Isn't that the response? Or they might say, work real hard at being good, and just try to be good, and then they add this in, be a moral person. Sounds pretty good, right? Do all these good stuff, immoral, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you live up all to these standards. But that can't get you into heaven. Or they might say, do more good things in life than bad things. The Lord has a scale, bad things, good things. And so long as the scale is tilt in this way in terms of bad things, they'll get you in. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. There's a fundamental, here comes the word again. I don't know why it's hitting me, and I never planned it this way. But there's a fundamental difference between Christianity and other religions. A fundamental difference. And I've got a Muslim to my left, a Hindu that sits couple row in front of me, and another Hindu that sits behind me, and I've got some unsaved, un-Christian people all around me. So I hear them all the time, and I talk sometimes to these folks, and there's one Hindu guy, and I've learned not to get into any religious discussion with him, because even though he's calm, and once you go there, he gets off the deal. He gets off the side there. But they all believe that you should do some sort of work. And I don't know if you understand what the Muslim religion is all about, but the ultimate thing, the only guarantee for Muslim, as I understand it, to get into heaven is to be a martyr. You got to do something. It requires something of you. But all Christianity requires only that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So simple as a child. Just accept him. Folks, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you're not a gambling person. Because if you gamble and don't make the right choice, we're going to see, as I do the E on the acrostic, that you're going to miss out on something that's an eternal reward. And it's so simple. It's so simple. Just accept him. Don't worry about where you're coming from. Just accept the Lord's gift. This is a personal Savior. Folks, it's a miracle that I'm here. But one day, way back, probably as much as 40 years ago, I decided to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Not worrying about what was behind me, but where I'm going. And henceforth, I know I'm locked in. That gift is mine. I'm not going to heaven based upon what I do. Some of you know me pretty well, and you know I'm not perfect. There's a saying, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. But I'm not. Those who are closest to me know me very well, and you have to probably forgive me every day, probably every second. But it's not based upon what I do that I'm in this new relationship with the Lord. It's because I accepted Jesus Christ. I accepted that gift. I took the gift and received it. So this is probably the greatest gift or the best deal that you're ever going to be offered. So why not accept it? So let's look at the R, which says, receive by faith. Folks, I'm a scientist. I went to the University of Western, is almost what? Long before probably Kevin was born. Kevin went there too, right? Because I didn't see him. I went there, I can't even count, a long time ago, probably 30-something years ago. And I was told that you do all these tests, and once it can repeat itself 6 times, it's working. And I learned all these theories, but the key with science is that you start with a premise and then you do some experiments, and then once you can predict the outcome, then you're cool. But this is different, folks. This is different. I cannot show you physical evidence, but it's a gift that has to be received by faith. Why no faith? Why no something happened? Because Donald isn't the same person as he was before. Gary isn't the same person as he was before. Kevin isn't. Laura isn't. I see Laura pouch up. Say me too. I just know you perked up a little bit. But because the transforming nature, the transforming thing that has happened in our life, we've experienced it. There's an experience that sometimes we can't explain. So you've got to accept it by faith. If we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 9, it says, "For this is by grace that you have been saved through faith." And you want to circle that faith there. "And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast." So what is the key to unlocking the doors to heaven? That's a question. Faith. Faith is the key. It's just a gift. But if you receive this gift, and if I go into my pocket and I have a few dollars here and I put it down, I'll put one because some people might, you know, be more enticed by the amount, and I say that's a gift for Cameron or whoever. And if that gift sits there, it's not really a gift until you come and retrieve it. And I'm surprised that nobody has come and retrieved it yet. Probably should put down 20. But in the former case, we have a lot of folks like that, where the gift is sitting there, and it's not really a gift until we exercise our faith and grab it, grab a hold of it. It just sits there being untaken. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "People receive God's promises by having faith. This happens so that the promise can be a free gift." Salvation is not based upon my performance. And you know, this society here is based upon performance. And some companies, I won't name them as I don't want to hit some people, determines how you get your bonus, how you get your thing by performance. And you know, if you perform better than this person, you'll get this and get. But that's not how we get our salvation. It's based upon God's promise. It's not based upon my goodness. It's based upon God's grace, God's love for us. I'm getting to heaven not based upon my merit, but based upon God's mercy. That's why he gets all the credit. He gets all the credit. There's nothing I can do. It's a free gift that is received by faith. And we've got lots of stories of faith in action in the Bible. And if I just take a little time here now and look at, you don't have to go there, but it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 9, the one I'm going to allude to, the story of Mephibosheth. Where's my water? Anyhow, this story is tremendous because this young man was the son of, let me see, I know you. Whose father was he? Who was his father? Jonathan, thank you. He was the son of Jonathan. But Jonathan and David had become good friends, despite the fact that Saul hated David and he chased him all over the country trying to kill him. But Jonathan and David had made a pact saying, whoever dies first will take care of the other person's family. And Jonathan and Saul died in battle, and David became king. And you know, in these days, I noticed it in Jamaica. I tend to read the Jamaican news, that one party, once they become president or whatever, you get rid of all You weed out the place. Get rid of all your enemies. Isn't that what it is? When the next president comes in, guess what he's going to do? All of Bush's, I can say that because the other mention his name. He'll get rid of all the Bush people. And he'll either bring in all the McCain people or the Barack people. But that's how it tends to work. But David was different. David was different. David exercised grace. He looked around and he said, is there no relative of Jonathan that I might show love? He went out of his way to look for Jonathan's relative to show some love. And if I was Jonathan's relative, I'd be hiding. And that's what they did to this young man. When David came to power, he quickly, his relative, his nurse and everybody, quickly grabbed him and went into hiding. And as they went off into hiding, they dropped the young man. I'm not having a good day with that name. They dropped him and he became crippled. So David's folks or helpers or whoever in the circle said, yes, there's a young man somewhere in Lodabar, I think it is. And they say, yes, there's a young man. So they brought this young man to David's court. This young man all trembling now because, why is the king calling me? And, my grandfather wanted to kill him. And now he's probably going to take my head off. But what David did, David brought the young man in and said, sit at my table. Sit at my table. Eat with me. Whatever is mine, you'll get the best of everything. Where's the analogy in this grace? The analogy here is where God's saying, come to us, those who are broken, those who are disabled in your life, crippled in some ways. That's the same thing God is saying to you. Our emotions might be crippled, or other things are happening in our lives. God says, come. Come into my family. Come into the family. I want you to sit at my table. The king of the universe is saying, come, sit at my table. And it's no charge. It's no charge. It's just for your taking. God is extending his grace just like David extended his grace. And the stories go on and on. There's other stories like the prodigal son. But I'm not going to go into it. So the Lord is treating you like, I have in my notes here, like royalty. But if you look, I think in Peter, it says, we are royalty. We are royalty. Once we accept his grace, we're not going to be treated like royalty. We become royal priests in his life. And isn't that a great thing to know and understand? And it's all because of his grace. The third one is, we said G for give, R is for receive faith. Then the third one is available to everyone. And that sort of blows me because, we've got a great American society here that is experiencing some bump in the road. But here it is saying it's available to everyone. God doesn't play favorites. If God was playing favorite, I tell you folks, I would not sit here. I would not be standing in front of you if it wasn't for God's grace and he doesn't play favorite. It's available to everyone. Let's look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, 14, sorry, and verse 16. It says, the promise is not only for those that live under the law of Moses. It is for anyone who lives with faith like Abraham. The law of Moses is referring to the Jews, and God chose them specifically to share and to dispense this good news. But now it's available to everyone. The scripture says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be. That's all you got to do. Call upon him. Nothing special. Call upon him. The sad thing is that even though many people know that God offers His grace, His unconditional gift to us, they will still try to work their way to heaven. And that's why you hear people work so much that they destroy themselves. They think that something in their lives is making them good enough, is making them good enough that they don't need to receive God's gift of grace through Jesus Christ. They've got to work at it. But you might have done something nifty, something in your life, but if you think you're going to get into heaven, forget it. There's nothing that you can do, nothing that you can put in this offering box. Even if you come with $1 million and drop it in the offering box, we'd probably say amen, but it's not going to make a difference. We'd be in a building tomorrow, right, Pastor? But it's not going to make a difference in the eyes. It might make a difference in Pastor Gary's whole outlook of things, might make a difference in mine too, but it will not make a single difference in the in God's sight. You can't buy it. We try to, even as Christians, sometimes we try to work real hard, you know, do all this, and hey, why are you doing that? And we saw it too when Jesus was there and Mary was, you know, doing one thing and the other one was doing something, and, you know, everybody's doing things according to their gift, and then we look to the left or look to the right and we're not seeing anybody working as hard as us, and we get annoyed. It has nothing to do with my performance. And he might look at me and say, how come, you know, you hear this all the time. How come he says he's saved? But that's who the people God is interested in. Christ didn't come for those who are perfect. He came for you and I who are empty, broken, and need help. If we didn't need help, if we didn't need to be restored, there would have been no need for him to come. And as we journey along this road here, we will someday be with him. But you must receive this gift by faith, which is available to everyone. But we're talking about grace. And the C comes from grace through Jesus Christ. Or grace comes through Christ. And John 1 and verse 17 says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Why through Jesus Christ? Why is Jesus Christ the only way? And sometimes I have a tough time reconciling that. And, you know, I think there was somebody, some politician was asked that. You know, am I right, Gary? If Christ is the only way, and I think he answered it correctly, right? He said, for me, it's the only way. I don't know about you, but for me, it's the only way. It's not by Buddha. It's not by somebody else. But why Jesus? Why is Jesus the way? Remember, God is a just God. He is a just God. And in his justice must prevail. So some price had to be paid. Some price had to be paid. And there was only one person that could pay that price to redeem us. And it was paid by Jesus Christ. Be careful now, folks. This gift is free, but it was very costly. Cost the Son of Man his life. And as I heard our brother prayed for the offering, he talked about how Jesus could have called 1,000 angels and just whoosh, poof. But a price had to be paid. And only one person could go to that cross to pay for our sins. And Jesus Christ did it. Grace is free, no doubt about that. But it's not cheap, as I said before. It cost Jesus his life. He paid for your ticket. Your ticket has been paid for. All you got to do is, you know, I'm going to say just go to will call. But you go to will call in asking Jesus, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Remember that old song? Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. If you're as old as I am, and I think Kevin, I see Kevin bowing there, says he knows that song. The law tells me that when I blew it and do wrong, it says you blew it. But grace says, here's how you get back on track. You're forgiven. Let's get going in the right direction. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 15 says, many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. You know, and this is the key to all of it. We'll notice several times in the Bible it says, in Christ. And one of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 4 and verse 13. It says, I can do all things in Christ. In Christ, we've got tremendous power to overcome whatever struggles that might be. So if you've lost 20, 30, 40,000 in your 401k, in Christ, I'll be able to retire, whatever that might mean. And retiring these days can mean many things. It can mean more service for the Lord, or just being there for some young people. I remember my mom retired 8 years ago, and they wanted her back. She retired as a principal after 45 years, and the government said, do you want to come back? She said, no, I've done my time. Now I'm going to devote the rest of my life to my church and my God. And that she has done, praise the Lord, for the last 8 years of her life. So as we move forward, let us do everything in Christ. Go where he leads, follow where he leads, and do what he'd have us do. Grace is God's riches. Grace was done at Christ's expense. It comes through Christ and only through Christ. Finally, in our acrostic, as we said, G is God's gift to me. R is received by faith. A is available to everyone. C is grace comes through Christ. And finally, E is it is extended through eternity. It's extended through eternity. You know, folks, we're very short-sighted in how we see things. And in terms of how we live our lives, we're either living in the past or we're living in the future. What might have been and what can be. And we get all discombobulated when things aren't happening right now with us. But we got to see things in God's context, in God's timing. Scripture says that one day to the Lord is like 1,000. But if we can conceptualize what eternity means, we'll get a better handle of how important it is that what happens in the 78 or the 80 or 100 years doesn't really matter, so long as we got it right so that we can spend eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. The results of God's grace are going to go on and on and on, way past the Energizer Bunny has stopped. Eternal life is one of the benefits of grace. You know, we tend to lock up and to focus on what happens here. And yes, that's a good thing. That's a good thing in terms of how we live our lives here. But we've got to see ourselves way beyond this life. You could say that grace is a gift that keeps on giving. God saved the best for the last, and the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, folks. With Jesus Christ, it just keeps getting better and better. The Bible says that the free gift of God is eternal life in heaven. Well, let me ask you a question as we wind down. Have you ever thought of what heaven is really going to be like? Have you ever just sit back and say, okay, you know, things aren't too good right now. I've lost this loved one who's gone on before me, or things are a little bit tough for me. I'm out of a job, or, you know, I didn't get the raise I should get, or the knees ache, or this part. Have you ever sit back and imagine, just think about what heaven is like? There are a couple of things I just want to remind us of how it's going to be. It's a place of reunion, hopefully. A place of reunion for those of us who know Jesus Christ of our Lord and Savior, where we will be reunited with loved ones who have accepted the grace of Jesus Christ. We're going to be reunited with friends too, friends in Jesus Christ. And we hope that everyone here, if we go before the Lord comes, will be reunited. But you've got to accept that gift. So we'll get a chance to see each other again. It's going to be a place of reward. We're going to be rewarded for the character that we developed and the way we serve other people here on earth. And third and finally, it's going to be a place of release where we are free from all pain. And I see Sister Gloria shaking her head. Even though she's a bionic lady, I thought about her having these new, mechanized knees. I know she aches sometimes. But it's going to be a place free from pain, all suffering, all sadness, all sorrow, all grief, all depression. You ever think Christians could be depressed? Of course. I knew a pastor who got so depressed that I've told this story probably before, who shot himself. Very depressing. And all loneliness. And remember I said God hates loneliness? Remember in my messages not too long ago? It's not objective that we be lonely. But a lot of us are lonely here. It's amazing that some of the most, effervescent people are lonely. But that won't be the experience in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful place. And it is because of the gift from God. But there's one catch. And there's always a catch, right? There's one catch. You have got to accept the gift. And now, this is a repeating thing I keep on saying here. And I want to make sure that everybody here gets it. That you've got to accept the gift. Don't wait until tomorrow or next week. Today is the day that you're certain of. Now is the time to accept the gift. It's a gift. It's not really a gift unless you unwrap it. It's worthless. It's just going to sit there. You need to realize that Jesus Christ makes this gift available to everybody. But it is also customized specifically for your life because God knows exactly what you need. You're never going to get a better deal. And I said that, but you're never going to get a better deal. Even if you wake up tomorrow and you're richer than Warren Buffett, not as good a deal as accepting this gift that God has to offer. It is your only hope. It is your only hope, folks. And it's free. Isaiah verse 30 and verse 18 sums it up, says, The Lord longs to be gracious. God wants to be gracious to you. It is his nature to bless undeserving people like us. He's waiting for you to accept his grace. He enjoys being gracious. He's not mad at you. I know some of you are saying, with my background, there's no way. I think it grieves him when you don't come home. So as we close in prayer, probably you're here and you say, Donnet, I've heard about this gift for years, but I've never unwrapped this gift. All heads bow, all eyes closed. I've been hearing about this gift 10, 15, 20 years, and I've chosen not to unwrap it. This might be your last chance. I don't know. Hopefully it's not. But I wouldn't take any chance if I were you. I would accept the gift now. And if you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just wanted to stick your hand right up and down and, let me pray for you. You might be here and you say, I've come to the point where I've accepted this gift sometimes back in my life. But I've gone cold in my life. Things have gotten so tough that I haven't realized what a wonderful thing the Lord did for me when he saved me. But now as I sit back and look what God's graciousness has been, had been, and will be in my life, I want to recommit myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're like that, just stick your hand up and down so that I might pray for you. In the coming weeks, we're going to look back at God's restoring grace, his sustaining grace, his healing grace. But as I said before, you first must settle the foundation of saving grace. Probably you are shy. Why don't you just pray in your heart? Dear God, I realize that I can never be perfect enough to earn a place in your perfect heaven. I realize that the only way I'll get in is by your grace. Forgive me for thinking that I could be good enough. Forgive me for my pride that thinks I can earn my way into heaven. Thank you that you give me what I need, not what I deserve. Thank you for your forgiveness, and I ask for it today. Jesus Christ, thank you for paying for my salvation on the cross. By faith, I accept your grace today. I want you to guide my life from this day forth. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Don taught that that the series we're going to end with Amazing Grace. But I know the majority of people in here this morning have experienced that amazing grace. So as we sing the song in closing, it's a new arrangement of a very popular song. For those of you who know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, this is your song. Ingrid, can you lead off for me? Can you please rise with us as we close? Was grace.
Word, my hope, see.
Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord, we just want to thank you for freeness. Freeness is good. Freeness is really good. Lord, that I am a royal priesthood. I am royalty in you. Lord Jesus, that's just so wonderful because, you know, I don't deserve it. So, Lord, I thank you for this freeness. And, Lord, the freeness that you've extended to everyone here. Lord, I pray that each person, every person walking out that door today, we'll learn what it is to experience the freeness. Lord, bless each and every person as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.